The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and may or may not be shared with the staff and management of this network.
Ghostly Talk!
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on May 10th, 2009. And if Bonnie were here, because you know it is Red Wings Day.
Yeah, we'll discuss that in a minute.
She would say,
Ghostly Talk is independent.
No, I'm just kidding. Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com. And then I would reply with, tonight, we discuss the Edison debate with Bonnie Vent and John Strike. And then Mark Kimmel finally returns.
Yep.
And then Oliver Williams joins us to discuss John Teeter's story.
Hello, everybody!
Sounds like a South Park episode.
Ah!
Yes!
Excellent. To follow that up, I must say, it is Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom, and all moms out there.
Oh, yeah. What'd you get your mother?
I got her. I can't say. You don't want to know.
It's Mother's Day.
Yes.
You can't tell.
I can't tell.
Well, I can tell.
It wasn't...
Not on your mother, but my mother.
Yeah, it wasn't mushy or, you know, whatever. It was perfect for my mother, though.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You gave her a bunch of money for the casino.
Well, close. Very, very close. But no more hints.
Okay, no problem at all. I can openly say what I got my mother. When my sister and myself, we were discussing, you know what, I haven't given anybody a Weight Watchers update here on the show yet either.
No, you haven't.
I'll do that in a second.
Cool.
But we were talking to Weight Watchers a few weeks ago, and we're like, hey, Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? You know, what's piquing your interest? And she wanted one of these, I don't want to pimp them because we're not getting paid for it, but Edible Creations. Have you heard of this thing?
Oh, yeah.
These big...
like baskets of cookies or something.
No. There's fruit. We're on
fruit. Oh, that's right. Oh, so baskets.
But
of
they
fruit.
Made. Yeah, they have all these different varieties, and you know, it's frankly, I was like, boy, this is just really weird. But okay, my mom wired it, so let's hook her up. So yeah, we ordered one of these things up for her and got this. It's like the you know the darling bouquet, whatever. You
yeah.
Know, it's a you know melon. Pineapple, strawberries all over the place, grapes all over the place. It's this huge thing in this pot. It's just gigantic, right? And we took that over to my mom's house today, and we all, you know, chowed down on that and just chatted and hung out. And that's what Mother's Day is for my family. I mean, my mom doesn't really ask too much for Mother's Day, but we wanted to get her something really nice. So we did that. We got her that thing. And, you know, so that was really cool. We had a lot of fun with that. So that was our big thing for our mom, you know.
Well, we went to Fernhill Golf Club and Country Club kind of thing.
Because
they do like a Mother's Day buffet kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, it was not as crowded as I had imagined. Because last night, I was driving around looking for... We were driving around. There were three of us. We were driving around looking for a place to eat. About 6, 7... No, it was about 7 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like when kids should have been in bed and stuff, but they don't go to bed till after 1 or 2.
Oh, yeah, that's
right?
Just the way it is now. You know, but, I mean, if parents got a problem, let's stay in that, deal with it. I got a real issue with that. Too.
When I was a kid, we used to be in bed by 8, which means we were not out eating at 7.
Oh, yeah, parents slugging down beers with their kids. Oh, yeah, it's free for all now.
Yeah.
I don't.
So we were looking around at 7 p.m. for a place to eat, and it literally, we finally, it was about 8:30 when we found a place that didn't have a 30 to 45 minute wait.
Oh, God.
Not kidding.
Did they forget Mother's Day's on Sunday and not Saturday night?
Evidently, there's no recession. That's all I have to say.
Everybody's eating out.
Everybody.
Did I tell you about the lady that... Well, no, you were...
So then this morning, we went with my mom, and dad and aunt over to the Fernhill Country Club, and I thought for sure it was going to be packed because of my experience last night. No, it was wonderful, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the lady really quick? Amber and I went to our, you know, because I had that major blunder last weekend that we all heard about.
Yeah.
we went to our favorite restaurant, you know, Amber and I go to. Did I tell you there was a lady that was breastfeeding at the table next to us?
You're kidding.
Yeah, we're sitting there, and of course, kids are, they knew I was coming, so they brought as many babies in.
Yes, yes.
And I'm like, oh, great, here we go. So I'm trying to keep a conversation going. And then the lady's like, oh, you must be hungry, baby. Hang on. And here lifts the blanket up. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
Are you kidding me? Right? And now, I'm sure there's mothers that we have a real problem with what I'm saying. But I just think, you know, much like, you know, drug use, there's a time and a place for it. You know, I just thought there was a time and a place for that. So it kind of creeped me out. You know, so, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But, yeah, I just had to.
I wonder if she would do that at the opera.
Probably.
Like you're sitting there in an opera and she just, you know.
Moving into the fifth movement of Tchaikovsky's Third Symphony.
Yeah,
and...
so...
exactly. So, but yeah, this whole.
I wonder if she would do that as a job interview.
Well, why not?
Or a Trailer Park Association meeting.
Oh, whoa! There's the shots going out right there.
But I'm bummed.
Now.
I'm sorry. I see nothing wrong with public breastfeeding because babies get hungry, right?
Well,
I see nothing wrong with it.
Take it to the car.
However, it needs to be... There are places for it.
Yeah.
And sitting at the table with other people...
I mean, I know it's a place to eat. Around, I know that.
Yeah, is not the place for it.
Yeah, that just kind of really weirded me out.
You take the infant... You know, away from the other people who are
sure. We'll take. We're going to get killed for that, but you know, that's my opinion. That's obviously your opinion too.
Right. But if somebody's sitting on a park bench feeding their baby, or if somebody is, you know, tucked away in a corner or whatever, you know, of a room, you know, not sitting there at a table with a million people trying to enjoy
on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know, like, whoa, this is a trip. So yeah, I just
did. You have to wait to get a table.
Couple minutes. It was a nice night out. So this was last Saturday.
This was last Saturday.
Just a couple minutes. We sat outside. It wasn't a big deal. Well, I have to segue into that though, because we actually got the right date and we got to the wedding that I talked about last weekend, guys.
Yay! Yeah. You finally went to that wedding.
We went there and there was a wedding going on. It was for somebody I knew. I was like, okay, I think we got it right this time, honey. I think Amber, we're good. I think we're here. And it was fantastic. Jim Dojahowski, and now the illustrious Amy Dobjehowski. We're married yesterday. Old friend of mine, kind of went through it last week. A good old friend of mine who's been around since the old days, even with Ghostly Talk, kind of helped us out with stuff like that, too. He got married last night, or yesterday. Yesterday. So congratulations to my friend Jim. We love you here, and I wish you guys all the happiness. I think they're actually on their way to their honeymoon as we speak.
Wow.
So congratulations to them. I also have another announcement we have to make. This has to be said, too. There's another thing, too. I don't think I mentioned it. No, we didn't. Rabbit. You guys have heard of our buddy Rabbit.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Dave Wenner, who I used to play in MFPS with. He's been on the show a couple times. He was actually here for our Alex Klein Memorial show we did last year.
Yeah.
But Rabbit's dropped in from time to time. He's just one of those guys. And, you know, Rabbit, if you guys want to see goofy pictures of the rabbit, you want to see who I'm talking about, you can go to myspace.com/teammfps. That's the MFPS, you know, our little site we have for MFPS now, for our old band. Well, he's a father. All the people in our band, you know, because we've practically grown up together. We spent the last, you know, almost a decade together now as buddies, playing music and stuff. And of all the people I didn't think was going to have a kid, Rabbit does it. He always surprises us. And he's, him and Kristen, his fiance now, had a very healthy young little lady named, and her name is Ava Lorraine Winter, last weekend. And the baby's doing great. There's a bunch of pictures up, I think, you know, on Satan's website, too. You can look for it. You'll find them. But, yeah, they are doing really well, so we want to congratulate them, too. They are really happy for Rabbit and Kristen. They're just doing their thing. I'm really happy for them. Hang on, I'm doing double duty here, so you have to talk now, Doug. Talk.
So, the other day... No, I actually have...
Okay, I'm back now.
Good.
No, so congratulations to those guys. I'm really happy for, you know, Ava Lorraine Winter. Cute little girl. Looks just like Rabbit, big matted face and matted hair, you know. I saw the pictures, I'm like, that's definitely your kid. And we talked. I got to talk to them this week, too. And, it was really cool to talk to him, and he's really excited. He's like, man, I'm tripping out, dude. He's like, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, whoa. He's like, this is my kid. I'm like, well, you know, I told you that's what happens when you do this stuff. You got to watch it. He's really happy, and him and Kristen. Kristen's a really good girl. She just finished up graduate school. And they just bought a house together. They're making their life happen. You know,
that's awesome.
It's really great to see people do that. Even with the present state of things the way they are today, there's people still out there trying to, you know, reach their goals and do the right thing. So really happy for those guys. So congratulations, Dave. I'm going to say Dave, not Rev. Dave and Kristen on a healthy little girl they have. Okay, a couple other things we got flying here. You know, we were talking before the show.
Yeah.
What the hell? Let's let it fly.
All right. Let's
got time to talk here. Well, we got to mention Bonnie's not here, too.
Oh, that's right.
What happened with Bonnie, Doug? Please do tell.
Well, it is indeed Red Wings Day. They are in the playoffs. It is the series that they're playing in right now is tied 2-2.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a pivotal game because they have to get two more. And if they can get this one and the next one, they will win the series here at the Joe, which is the Joe Louis Arena downtown Detroit, right? Whereas if they lose this one, then they have to win the final two. So it's like really pivotal. So they are, so Bonnie, of course, is going to be perusing that.
We might see her hop in the chat room.
She may hop in the chat room.
We
don't know.
Boy, I'm really glad that, you know, hey, there's a Red Wings game on tonight. I'm not coming to Ghostly Talk. She's going to take hits for that. I don't
know. No. I had called her about 1 o'clock,
yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, you know, I just found out that the Red Wings game is at 5, and I know it's tied 2-2, and it's a pivotal game.
Yeah.
If you know, what's going on? She goes, well, I'm planning on coming. And I said, well, I know it's a pivotal game.
We know you're a rabid Red Wings fan.
Yeah, and she actually said, what I'll do is I'll just have people send me messages in the chat room as far as the score, right? And
yeah,
I said,
yeah.
Well, I will completely understand if something, you know, goes on. So, you know, if you end up staying home for that, because it's...
Yeah.
This is it's the kind of thing, like, there was a Ghostly Talk a couple of years ago, I think. Who was on? It was...
Oh. You're looking at me like I'm going to know, and I don't.
It was Andy and Tanya.
Okay.
Andy and Tanya, Kaiser of Aspiro Productions, was on. And
yeah.
We were talking. And literally, Bonnie would jump up out of her seat and run in the other room for something. And then she'd, you know, saunter back in a few minutes later. And what it was is we were saying, oh, my gosh. And then she would run, you know, in the chat room, and she would run in the other room. So the Red Wings are very important to her. And, oh, by the way, I know people online can't see this.
Whoa, okay. He said, by the way, and he was reaching for his pants, and I
no.
Went, whoa,
no,
what
no,
are you
no.
doing
it was,
here?
It was the, I was reaching for my shirt, the bottom of my shirt, because I wanted to lift up my shirt and show you that the T-shirt I'm wearing is a Red Wings logo T-shirt.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. So, well, I'm glad that's all I got to see.
That's all you get to see. Yeah.
I was like, well, okay, so we're going to see, we'll probably see Bonnie drop in from time to time here tonight. We'll see what happens. One thing, I forgot to do this last week because I was just like, ripping my hair out the whole night. I'm going to do a giveaway tonight.
Excellent.
I know last weekend I mentioned it, and I didn't, and I'm really sorry. So people who are listening to the show live, only live, right, I'm going to announce sometime during the show for our giveaway here. And first person to email in, email me, scottl@ghostlytalk.com, gets the prize. Again, it's EVP.
But you have to wait until we
say
an email.
And I'm not going to, don't let me forget, because I forgot last weekend. Postmortem Chemicals of Necromancy. This is a really cool. This is just some really wicked stuff. EVP. That's the name of the group. EVP. Scorpios. We've had on the show before. He really put together a cool CD here, which is some really wild stuff. You hear it from time to time here in our bump music and whatnot too. You'll hear it.
Yeah.
So definitely listen out for that here for the live listeners tonight. If you listen on archive, sorry, deal with it.
And if you want to get a copy of it, if you don't win, right?
Yeah.
You can always go to our website, look up Scorpios in the guest contact list, and go to the website.
I think the website actually, no, it's on the CD here, projectevp.com.
There you go.
I think that should take you to his website. You can check out more stuff there, too. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll be giving that away tonight sometime, along with in the midst of all the guests we have on the night. It's going to be an interesting night. Now, I want to get back to this. Okay, and I'm looking at the chat room here, and Josh, I'm going to say, yeah, you know what? I think I've seen some of this. We'll discuss this more because I'm aware of this too. So yeah, Doug's looking now. We'll discuss it more later. Believe me, I'm all aware of that. Thank you, Josh. So I appreciate it. Yeah, and let's definitely touch base on that. Anyways, we were kind of talking before the show.
It sort of became a personal message.
I'm sorry. You know, and I hate I don't like doing that. I hate doing that. I mean,
because right now everybody on their iPads driving to work or at work tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I wonder what he means.
Well, no. And I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
Mudslinging and all that stuff. Speaking of mudslinging. Anyways. We were talking before the show, and it's been on my mind. You know, I'll try to be as soft and friendly about this as I can. And we kind of talked frankly a few minutes before the show started. And we're talking about possibly making some more changes to the show.
Yeah.
And this is all high level right now, but I think I like being as transparent as possible with this show. I think we're very transparent when it comes to our plans, what we're going to do. We've had a lot of frank discussions with each other on the air here about
we've had
literal meetings for the show here. And
that's why I love the first half hour. It's ours to do with what we want. And if we want to have a meeting, we have a meeting.
Well, we tried this a couple of years ago. We tried something we called it Neoclassic Ghostly Talk.
Yes.
It was some little thing we did. We did a couple episodes of it, and we just had too much crap going on with work. We couldn't do it on a regular basis because we tried doing it like twice a month, but even that was just too much. And basically what it was is we put ourselves on a radio clock, which was kind of interesting.
Right.
And we just took
it's
a
difficult.
Subject. We took a subject and talked about it. And now this is what we used to do back in the day, right?
Right.
And what Doug and I, we were talking a little bit about this before the show, and I think I just came out and said it. I'm like, I really am considering taking the show back to more of a talk format. I mean, that's a poor choice of words. A talk format between the hosts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we used to do. If you guys have been with us for, you know, any amount of time here, going back to 2003, 2002, whatever, you knew that the show originally was us taking a subject and running with it.
Yeah.
You know? And I've been thinking more and more about that lately as far as the direction of this show we want to take. I love talking to guests. I think it's fantastic, right? But there's a couple things that have been really disturbing me about the field and when it comes to our craft and what we do here on this show. Number one, I understand that people have to sell books. They want to sell a book. They have a body of work they're putting together, and that's totally cool. I'm with that.
And it's difficult. I mean, I fully support people who are working on that. And
yeah, but I've been hit up too many times especially in the last year from guests and people that are like, well, you know, I want to make sure I'm going to sell some books as a result of my appearance on this show. And I'm like, well, don't you believe in what you're talking about? I mean, I thought you were going to come out here and talk to us about, about what you're working on here because you have a passion for it. It's because you really believe in what you're talking about. And I've heard it too many times from people saying, well, you know, they're literally saying, look, I'm coming out here to sell books and that's it. I don't care. And it's like, wow, well, that kind of just took the whole wind out of our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel like I'm just jumping through the hoops with this guy. Yeah, okay, let me ask these questions and stuff like that. Let me do this. Let me do that. And okay, great, we'll give him his hour, and great, we're done. You know, and I don't think that's what Ghostly Talk's about.
No.
It never has been about that. I think it's always been about the material and how we've been taking these drastic measures, especially this year, to bring what we think is some really interesting stuff, you know, some new stuff to the field, not just, you know, again, I'm going to get hit for this, not just, you know, ghost hunting in general. It's a fascinating subject, but there's a lot of stuff out there, right? But, you know, if I don't like being used. I don't think you do either, Doug.
No.
I don't want to be used by people, you know, and how do you judge that? How do you gauge that, right? How do you know? Some people don't say that, but I've been hit with that too many times, right? Number two, I am just being hit, it seems like, on a regular basis now, and we've talked about this before on the show, where we have a guest on, and then here come out of the woodwork, people come, and they, well, this person's a fraud, and that person's a fraud. And believe me, I listen to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think one of the things we've said on this show is that Ghostly Talk was designed to add to the body of work out there when it comes to the paranormal. I don't want to be adding myself to the body of BS when it comes to the paranormal. Okay? And how do I know that? You know, between one person to another? We have no way of knowing that. It's impossible for us to know that.
Right.
All I can go by is what I see on the internet. I hate to say it. You know, and God knows. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So there's this kind of got, you know, at least me on this thing going, okay, you know, I don't want to totally remove guests from the show. We have a lot of guests we're talking to tonight on the show, correct?
Good one.
And, you know, basically, yeah, real good guests, real good. We're going to be talking about some interesting stuff tonight. But it's something I'm thinking about taking the show into a direction of more of just us taking a subject, researching it, and going head on with it, right? I mean, I don't know any, and that's what we used to do.
Right.
Wait, I'm sorry.
And it was important to us back then, and I think it's becoming more important to us now. I'm hoping that this will mark a change also in the direction of the paranormal community in general, because it's really all about ego at the moment.
It's gotten to that point where it's scaring the crap out of me.
Yeah.
It's scaring the crap out of me, and I do not want to, again, I'm going to reiterate that too. I do not want to add to the body of BS. I want
right.
to add to the body of what knowledge we can do.
Right.
Or what knowledge we can add to it. I mean, that's what we're about, what I think we're about here. I don't want to be an infomercial. I don't want to be somebody else's stepping stone. That's not what we do. We work too damn hard here to be used like that, I think. Take it any way you want, okay? Maybe there might be people listening to this show right now that haven't been guests on this show, right?
Oh,
take it any way you want. You know, if we're going to lose listeners as a result of a decision like this, maybe, well, then so be it. I don't know what else to tell people. But we're only doing what we believe is the right thing to do with this, with what we're doing here.
The thing is, like you were saying, I certainly don't mind if somebody has written a book, right? Or if somebody has produced a mini documentary, or if somebody has, you know, some kind of lecture series, right? I don't mind. That's you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to have fun and do that kind of, or do a lot of hard work, but also have fun and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you have it, that's great. But when we want to talk about the topics.
Yeah.
I mean, of course we want to mention your website. We want to mention your body of work. We want to mention the stuff that you've done and the things that you're proud of.
Yeah.
But we want to talk about the topic.
Yeah, and it's just, how do you gauge that? There's no way to know, period.
It's very difficult. Ahead of time, you have no idea.
What a person's intentions are for coming on your show. All I can All I'm saying as a result of this conversation is I've heard it too many times now between those two things.
Yeah.
Between, hey, look, I'm coming here to sell books, period. Deal with it. And right. We got to push this thing hard, okay? We got to push this thing hard. Look, this isn't the Johnny Carson show.
All right.
This isn't, we're not doing that. This isn't Late Night with Conan O'Brien or whatever. We're not here holding up a DVD in our hands going, make sure you go out and buy this thing, guys. Yeah, check it out. If you listen to what this person has to say on this show and you think it's interesting and it inspires you to go and buy that thing, oh, that is fantastic. I am so
right.
happy to help out.
Right.
I think it's cool. But it's just one of those things. I can't sit here and put all the dots together on this and say, well, this is the reason. But it's just really, we've heard that between the sell this and sell that and push this and push that. And then also just hearing it over and over again from people that we've looked up to in mm-hmm. the past, right, that are being just out and out. And I'm not saying that they're being lied about. I'm saying they're out and out being shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this person has been lying all these years. And here we have 3 or 4 archives of the show, right?
Right.
How do you think that makes us feel? Now, we've always been very fair, I think, about this stuff. And we said, look, you may not believe this. This may be lies, but we're just presenting this. This person wanted to talk about this.
Well, the format of the show is a conversation between us and the guests.
Yeah.
Right? Or the format of the guest portions of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So just as if we had met at a cocktail party and we're learning about
yeah,
them,
yeah, yeah.
and they're learning about us, but mostly we're learning about them, because mm-hmm. otherwise, you know, what kind of show would that be?
Uh-huh.
That would be the first half hour of the show if everyone's learning about us. But
mm-hmm.
So we're it's like we're at a cocktail party. We're all just chatting, and we're learning about them and what their topics are. And,
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
That's how it's always been, and I think we've pretty much lived up to that.
I don't want to see us turn into... I don't want to be stepped on by people. I'm not going to have... I won't let it happen, personally. You know, and I'm just... It's starting to... I'm just seeing... I'm watching, looking forward, and saying, what's going to happen to this show? And I don't want to go down in history going, they were just a bunch of yutzes like everybody else was. No, I think we've illustrated over and over again that we care. And I care, and Doug cares, and Bonnie cares about what happens with this field. And for the grassroots people out there that are trying to learn something and not trying to put together a, you know, whatever pilot there is out there. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just being
agree.
Honest here.
I
deal
agree.
With it. You got a problem with it, deal with it. I don't
no,
know what to
I
tell
agree.
You. Okay, there's it just seems like the goals of people have been skewed. We bitched about this in and out. But there comes the time when there, you know, you feel a change coming, and I'm starting to feel that now. We're going to discuss this more in private, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool to be transparent about this stuff. I hope you're not going to kill me after this.
No, I don't mind talking about it right now, because
yeah.
I really think that that's the best way to go. And plus, people might email and say, you know what,
I
missed. Yeah, they might do that.
They might
too.
Say that. Not, you know.
But they might say, I missed the, you know, the old... Ghostly talk.
We've had people.
Where,
why don't
you guys?
Well, I've heard it both ways. I've heard it both ways. We want you guys talk more in the show, and then I get some information going. Why don't you guys shut the hell up and let the guests talk?
Yeah, we. It,
okay.
You cannot.
Well,
you can't
please everybody.
But you know what we can.
But you can
do.
Please yourself.
We can do what we think is right.
Yeah, you can please yourself.
That's what we can do.
And mark my words out there, everybody out there. We're pleasing ourselves.
Yeah.
We're Black Flag. Okay. We play for ourselves. We do our thing ourselves. We're not here to entertain anybody. Okay. If you're entertained, more power to you. That's awesome. But hey, you like the show? That's great. I think that's really cool. But I think these are just—it's on my mind, and I want to be transparent about this stuff. You hate me for it. You hate me for it. You know, I'm the one that initiated this conversation, so I don't want the hate mail going to Doug. If you got a problem, send it to me. I'll deal with it. I don't care. So, all right.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think we should explore it. You know, and we don't even have to do it like every single week, or we don't have to do. You know, we can phase it in, or we can do it.
We're gonna try some stuff.
Figure,
yeah.
Who knows what we can do? But we can definitely take the show in the directions that we see fit. It's
to be continued. To be continued.
I like
up.
That.
Speaking of guests, who do we got going on here, Doug?
Oh, coming up next, Bonnie Venton, John Strife.
The Edison debate.
Yes, the Edison debate.
We've heard both sides of it, and I thought this was interesting, so I want to talk to this with these guys. Let's take a quick break, though, first, Doug.
I dig it.
Get these guys up on the line, all that fun stuff. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk!
WPIRG, Crossroads Paranormal, and ASPRN are excited to announce the first annual North Central Paranormal Meet and Greet and Expo. The event will take place on June 6, 2009 at the Honeywell Center Gym in Wabash, Indiana. The time of the event is 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admittance is free. All paranormal enthusiasts are welcome to attend. groups or individuals may set up a table at the event free of charge. We are currently collecting donations to raffle off at the event. Each person that attends the event will receive one raffle ticket. But if you bring a non-perishable food item, you will receive an additional entry. The food items collected will be donated to a local nonprofit food pantry to help those in need. If you are planning to attend the event, we would love for you to participate in our panel member contest. Bring your photo to the event, and people can vote for the best photo by placing a quarter into the canister that will be placed next to your photo. The money raised from voting will also be donated to a nonprofit organization. The picture that has the most money in their canister will be the winner of the Best Paranormal Photo prize to be announced at a later date. The ASPRN feed will be open for the event, and CPR show hosts Chris and Mike will be broadcasting the event and hope that other radio hosts from ASPRN will also participate in the broadcast. What this means is that if you are a group or individual that is going to attend the event, stop by the live broadcast booth and tell us about yourself or your group live on air. If you have any questions about the event or table space, contact Jason at wpirg@yahoo.com. If you would like to make a donation, contact Chris at chris@cprshow.com. That's chris@cprshow.com. Or if you have any questions about ASPRN, live feed, you can contact Mike at mike@asprn.com.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Well then, you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 1,200 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day at www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Oh, on the other side, CPR, or Cooperative for Paranormal Research, is one of these groups. We are dedicated to finding the answers, dedicated to finding evidence of the paranormal, and dedicated to proving that some places are truly haunted.
I'm back.
Oh, here he comes. Run, Doug, run. We're almost there. Doug, you made it.
Hang on.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And, all right, here we go. This is something I thought was really going to be interesting. This is going to be very interesting to talk about. As you guys know, we've talked about this on the past here of the show. Years ago, we talked about, you know, the great Thomas Edison. And we actually talked, I think we talked in depth about this one show. Speaking of old school ghostly
people, oh, yeah.
I think we did a whole show talking about Edison. And, you know, that there was a story, and this is, I say story right now, and I can't wait to hear from Bonnie and John on this also, but there was a story about before Edison passed away, he was working on a tool, a machine to contact the dead with. Now, over the years, there's been a lot of opinions, and it's, and we say on the website, it was we said that the Edison debate, because I think it's still a debate right now. A lot of people are going back and forth. That's why when I, you know, when I heard, you know, that Bonnie and John were working on this, and that John Streif, who we're going to talk to here in a second, has written a whole paper on this that you can download and read, I thought this is going to be something really cool to talk about. So I'm just going to get right into this, because we don't have a lot of time here. Bonnie Bent, as you guys know, she does our actually does our paranormal news.
Paranormal news,
and
yeah.
Bonnie, you commented a second ago that, you know, you said that there was no Bonnie on the show tonight, but no, we have a Bonnie here.
Now we do.
We have Bonnie Bent here on the show. So Bonnie, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Well, last time I was on, you made her, like, hide in the corner. It's like it's too confusing to have two Bonnies on the same show.
Well, this time we just scheduled a Red Wings game.
Yeah, so we got we totally removed her from the situation. Yes. It's great. John Streif also is joining us. John, how are you tonight?
Fine, thank you. Fine.
Great to have you guys join us. Now, I want to get right into this thing. Let's start with you, Bonnie, okay? As you know, we've had you on the show before. We actually talked with you about George Carlin not too long ago, the contacts right. You had with him, which was really interesting. And now, I'm just going to ask it straight out. How did you come into contact with Edison yourself?
Well, I'll try and talk fast because there's a little bit of a backstory. We're actually talking several years back.
Okay, but, no problem.
The way it started, actually, was I walked into a place called the Villa Montezuma in San Diego, and it's an old Victorian, and it was built for a man by the name of Jesse Shepard. And Jesse Shepard was also a medium, such as myself. He passed away in 1927. And so I'm just walking through, and I see in this glass case this book that's entitled Psychophone Messages.
Okay.
So in my head, I'd already been in contact with Jesse prior, so in my head I just said, you know, what the heck is a psychophone?
Uh-huh.
And I immediately get an answer. It's a device. Well, I'm standing right next to an historian who's an expert on Jesse Shepard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, this is what I asked, and this is the answer I got. And he said, no such thing, doesn't exist, bogus, laugh, 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 right?
Okay. All right.
So a couple weeks go by, and I'm searching for this book, which at that time was very rare. So I'm doing Google searches for psychophone mm-hmm. messages, his book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So up pops this actual device called a psychophone, which I take back to the historian and go, well, what's this then? Oh, well, gee, I never knew that existed.
Uh-huh.
So I put it up on my website because there's a mystery surrounding this particular device as to who invented it. And, you know, it looks Edison-ish, but we don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I'll throw it up there and, you know, people will comment and maybe we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
So then, you know, advance forward, someone sees it on my website. They had won a similar device in an auction. And so they write to me, and they're having all this anomalous activity in their house, and they're going, you know, what is this device? It's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So the husband's a tinkerer, right? And mm-hmm. so he's taking his device apart. So I said, well, look for trademarks, patents, anything, you know,
yeah.
to identify the thing.
Uh-huh.
So he completely takes it apart. There's nothing on there except a serial number for the motor, right?
Okay.
So then another year goes by. So now we're in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, I was doing free readings off my website. I don't do that anymore. So I get an email from this man who just, all he says is, tell me about my son. That's okay. It. It's like, okay, well, your son passed away because I see him standing in front of a coffin, and he's about, you know, 18, 19 years old. He's got this necklace that he's showing me. He's, like, extending it out. He wants me to really mention this. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, you know, what that is. So I just type it in, send it back to the guy. Okay. So he comes back and he says, you know, I have no doubt you were in communication with my son because that information is accurate. The necklace has been missing since he died, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So then he sees the picture of the psychophone on my website and says, you know what? I'm an engineer, formerly from Bell Labs. I have access to all the latest and greatest engineering and instrumentation, so on. Mm-hmm. And I want to build a device so that I can talk to my son myself.
Ooh.
Right? So he's looking at this information, and he comes back to me and he says, you know what? Can you get a hold of Edison and ask him some engineering questions, because I want to know what went right, what went wrong with the device that he supposedly was working on.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So after I get done rolling my eyes like everybody else, so yeah, I knock on Edison's door and go, hey, buddy, what you know? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Okay, well, the way this seems to work, at least for me, it's kind of, you know, 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon, right? So I was already in contact with Jesse Shepard, and Jesse Shepard had given me some information that he had actually met with Thomas Edison when they were both still alive, and that Edison wanted to know, Jesse, you do this naturally. How do I build a device to do what you do naturally? So I go back to Jesse Shepard and I say, you know, how can I get a hold of Edison? And he said, well, you have a picture of him, so just stare into the picture and it will connect you to him. It's like, okay, fine, I'll try it. What the heck?
All right.
So I had the questions, which are actually up on my message board. They're dated April 1st, I think it is, 2004. Mm-hmm. The original questions that the engineer wanted me to ask. And so I got answers to those questions, sent them back to the engineer, and I didn't hear anything. So, you know, a couple of weeks went by, and I said, you know, was that stuff helpful or, you know, mean anything to you? Because I don't know engineering. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, leave me alone. I'm working on it in my basement.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, that's how engineers are, though. So, you know, to me, that was like the ultimate compliment that, you know, not only was the information, you know, of use, but, you know, was even more of use in that he was actually trying to, you know, build his own device with it. Mm-hmm. And you guys know that, you know, I'm the only one that I'm aware of who's a trans medium who actually does verify the work that I do. Mm-hmm. And so this information is all up on my website. You can, you know, you can take a look at it. It's system date stamped from 2004. I'm not making anything up after mm-hmm. the fact. So anyway, more recently, there's been a whole lot, you know, trying to minimize the BS factor, as you were saying earlier. There's been a whole lot of very heated conversation lately about this whole thing. I mean, it's been an ongoing debate forever.
Yeah.
I didn't meet John Strife until 2006. Well, mm-hmm. of course, you know, it's like, you know, major download dump. It's like, okay, tell me everything you've done, because he studies mediumship, in particular historical mediumship.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like his little lab rat, basically. So he said, you know, tell me everything. And, you know, I told him about the story, and I sent him the information, and, you know, didn't really do anything with it, just kind of set it aside. And then lately we got an inquiry from a well-known skeptic mm-hmm. who was going to be writing an article for the Skeptical Inquirer. And so we decided that we would move forward with our information. And so you have my backstory, and then we go over onto John's side of the house, which is all the research that he did
uh-huh.
trying to quantify the information and validate the information, whether Edison did or didn't. I can tell you from the communication that I had with Edison that he did say he was working on a device. He also said that it didn't work. There was a lot of failure involved with it. So he didn't get out of the prototype phase.
Oh, okay. Now, John, the paper is actually called Edison Psychophone and ITC Technology, all things that make my antlers pop up. So when I saw this, I was like, wow. Let's just start things off. Why did you write? This is an ambitious paper, okay? But why did you decide to take on this subject? I mean, actually, I should say these subjects.
Well, simply put, the reason was because, as Bonnie said, there was quite a bit of questions going around, and we had the two camps, the EVP ITC community, folks working with the technology, saying that Edison was one of their progenitors, practically.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, we had the skeptics, and claiming also historians were in the game, which got my attention, because I am an historian, one of the things, that everyone who knew anything about Edison was saying, nope, can't be true.
Mm-hmm.
Just fundamentally, he's a scientist, he wouldn't do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, when I hear that, like you, the antlers go up, and I begin to wonder, is there more to this? Antennas, antlers, same difference. Put some bar on the antlers, you got a deer, and tune him in, and you'll hear spirit voices. But the psychophone thing was the first issue. I mean, as usual, in research, you have to get your definition straight. And I found, based on my own 40 years of research experience,
yeah.
I knew a lot about the terminology in the field, especially some of the more obscure terminology. And the term psychophone wasn't totally known to me, but I happen to remember a couple of things.
Yeah.
In fact, for example, in the 19th century, the term spiritualist medium was actually called a psychophone. And what they did was called psychophonics or psychophone messages, which, by the way, was the title of the book Bonnie referred to, mm-hmm. written by Jesse Shepherd in the 1920s.
Okay.
And then also it was a form of somnambulistic communication system, which is a device she found, we think, built in the 1920s and actually used to reinforce one's personality during sleep. At the time, they didn't even know it worked, but in fact it did. And that was built on an Edison platform. So Edison was connected with that in a very loose way, but he didn't actually have anything to do with the actual company.
Okay.
And then finally, and they folded in 1929 during the Depression. And then finally, it's also a type of spirit communication device. Now, this detail Bonnie does not know. I had a conversation with a good buddy of mine many years ago, a guy named D. Scott Rogo.
Wow.
He was a very nice guy.
Yeah, you just pushed my button.
I'll wait a minute, a little bit of that one. Scott and I were talking, and he just put out, about a year before, he put out phone calls from the dead, maybe a couple years before. And so he and Ray Bayless, who's his partner, we were talking about that whole thing with Scott, I was. And he mentioned, well, you know, Ray, years ago, used to do some of this EVP, ITC stuff. And this is in the 70s this conversation's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, Ray did this. It was a weird thing he used. It kind of looked like an Edison gramophone. And, of course, all this comes back to me now in the last year. I'm thinking, my golly, I had that conversation with Scott years ago. And Ray Bayless in the 40s, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Ray was much older than I. I'm 60. Ray was much older. And so he'd been doing this in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So this predates even a lot of the more well-known guys out there that you normally think about, like Rodiva you think about usually.
Yeah, right.
Ray actually is contemporary or earlier than he. So we have all of this stuff going on, and but as I say, so the whole term definition psychophone had to be defined first of all. We got past that finally, and then we said, okay, are the claims of Edison as an early innovator, is this true? What's the history?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Edison was raised a spiritualist. He was not spiritual, though, by the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
He gave an interview in 1921 with the New York Times, and he stated his position regarding all of this. He believed in the continuity of life as if there were minute particles that animated object forms. He called these life units. And he thought it should be possible to build an apparatus to detect them. He said all of this in the New York Times in 21 and later as well during his final decade of his life, right up until 1931.
Mm-hmm.
He said he began in 1908. He was motivated by the horrors of World War I, and he felt that the folks who'd lost so many loved ones in that war could benefit from science, could figure out a way through this. He said science, and this is a quote, science should investigate this. I intend to take a try at it. So it's pretty clear that Edison was interested in it. There's not much question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I should divert here and say that skeptics have said it's a hoax. Scientists wouldn't have done this. Certainly Edison, their you know, great man, would not have done this. But I'm finding this to be kind of unbelievable, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, Edison was really passionate about this concept. He had a really good reason, a human reason for doing it. You don't bore hoaxes out of that usually. Second thing is there's evidence in his own writings, private as well as public, that indicate he was interested in this. Why would he write something really only of his own eyes that, you know, we're perpetuating a hoax? That's kind of a complete hoax, if you ask me. So I think the story that you hear the skeptics talking about, because nobody can produce any documentary evidence to prove it. I keep asking people, just provide me a documentary piece. I've done loads of documentary evidence here. Just give me one piece that, you know, has Edison's name on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do it. So no matter who it is in the skeptical community. So I think it started with Charles Edison, Thomas's son. He kind of wanted to be sure the old man had a good history. And he may have done a little rewriting, and I think the hoax story may have started with Charles Edison. It's a guess on my part, but I think it's a pretty informed guess. And others who know a lot more about Edison than I, because I have bounced this around some fairly respected historians, have said, yeah, this is probably the real, you probably got it very close to right. If it's not Charles, it's somebody real close to him.
Oh, now you said, now it's so, well done.
Well, this is all very confusing, because I had thought that, you know, the primary thing was an article that said something to the effect of, and I have to paraphrase because I don't have all the materials in front of me, but mm-hmm. it said something like, you know, the writer of the article, this wasn't a quote, said something like, well, if anybody can, you know, invent a machine to talk to the dead, Thomas Edison can.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard that was done tongue-in-cheek, because the author of the article and Thomas Edison didn't get along and they were poking fun at each other.
I think you're talking about B.F. Forbes, I think.
Okay, that could be.
And that's all true, but it has nothing to do with whether or not it was a true statement.
Oh, okay.
He is the background. And looking at the actual historical documents, looking at the actual laboratory notes in Edison's lab in Menlo Park, New Jersey, looking at the number of laboratory investigators who actually have notes in their notebooks, contemporaneous from their period in the 1920s, mm-hmm. to talk about spiritualist research, books they need to get and read that are mainly from the psychical research background, looking at statistics and card guessing and things like that. These guys were interested in psychical research, whether we like it or not. They really
right.
were. And well, we don't have anything from Edison directly of a similar quality. Many of his close key people were very interested in this based on their notes, which, by the way, were sacrosanct in the Edison laboratory. And that actually leads to one of the problems, one of the real problems. And the problem is there are no plans. It turns out in the final century of the laboratory, the final decade of the laboratory in the 20s,
mm-hmm.
plans were like gold. And this is the part that bothers the historians the most. They don't have a problem when there's no apparatus. A lot of people point to that and say, no apparatus couldn't have ever existed. The fact of the matter is that in the Edison laboratories, it was not at all uncommon to repurpose things. Many things that are known to have been invented, the originals don't exist. Yet they're known to have been invented. So that's not really the problem. The problem is there are no plans. So actually, plans did surface. A medium, and this is the first of the mediumistic connections to Edison. Actually, in 1941, a New York medium claimed to be in contact with Edison. She did so for a Con Edison employee that worked with Edison and an academic. And they were trying to find out more about Edison and what he'd done in the final years of his life. And she claimed to know where some plans were. Actually, Edison, speaking through her, claimed to know where some plans were. And through three different people in New York, they ultimately ended up with some plans. Now, those plans have been seen by myself, many other people, including the world's leading expert on Thomas Edison. And I've talked with him about this, and he said, I don't think the plans are real. And I asked him, well, why do you think that? Well, first of all, Edison wasn't an electrician or electrical engineer. He was basically a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would never have drawn a schematic. So you can say right away, schematic is not Edison's work, full stop. If it was done in the laboratories, it was done by an electrical engineer. Now, we have an interesting letter that Edison wrote to a man in Haymarket, Virginia, which is not far away from where I'm sitting right now in Fairfax near Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And this letter was written back in about 1920-something. And in that letter, the man obviously had some ideas in this matter, and Edison says he's going to dispatch one of his very trusted assistants to talk to the man more. That man, that trusted assistant, was actually his chief engineer, who, by the way, held a PhD in electrical engineering, and he was working and collaborating with Edison. That's
okay.
Very interesting.
Yes.
We don't think this is his drawing style, however. We know his drawing style, and also, more importantly, his writing style. The writing style of the plans actually looks more European than English or American. As far as is known, there are no Europeans who are working in that capacity in the Edison laboratory in this period.
Mm-hmm.
This is the level of depth we've gotten into, as you can see. So as a result, we're pretty sure these plans are really frauds. And I'm also happen to be, in my background, an electrical engineer myself, broadcast engineer, video, audio. So this is not foreign territory to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the plans, I can tell you they're basically noise generators. There's nothing to them. They shouldn't produce anything, much less stirred voices.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way about most plans that are out there, by the way. And that's pretty much what most electrical engineers feel. Anyway, that's what we know about him. And the other mediumship claims, Bonnie's mentioned hers already. And then there was this whole business about 67 it was, a Viennese clairvoyant actually claimed to have contacted Edison. Edison, he says, talked about his 1928 work and then gave some instructions for a video ITC problem they were facing in Brussels at the time. And after that, purportedly with the information Edison gave them, they were able to build successfully a video ITC system, which, of course, was far more impressive than audio. I'm not sure about that. That may be fraudulent system. I just don't know. I don't know about the people. Someday maybe I'll have a comment that's really meaningful. But anyway, the bottom line is that it really was interesting that Edison was contacted. And now we learn maybe he even talked to mediums when he was alive, like Jesse Shepard. He was known as Francis B. Grierson, which was Shepard's pen name. And this is the name under which he wrote when he wrote a monograph of the war in, of all years, 1908, the same year that Edison became interested in all of this. Maybe he did know Grierson.
Ooh.
And he didn't. Now, here's the interesting part, though. According to the Edison experts, Edison only went to Europe and England in 1 year. That was 1911. And that's the year that Grierson said he, or Shepard, same guy, said he met Edison. In fact, there are two possible days, August 8 and 9 of 1911. Those are the 2 days Edison was actually in London. So we've nailed it down that far. So it's pretty interesting.
Well, he went to Knightsbridge, remember, John? It was
Knightsbridge. Yeah, Chief Porley met in Knightsbridge. But the bottom line is...
And Edison is also mentioned in Psychophone Messages in the foreword of the book. which mm-hmm. was written by Lawrence Tonner, which is Jesse Shepard's personal secretary. And so I had no access to that book. It was under glass in a house museum. And John went and found a copy of it later on. And here's Edison and Psychophone mentioned right in the foreword of the book.
In fact, we were able to photograph the book so we could have a complete copy of it before it went online. But the years before it went online. So we were able to go through and check it and read it and see what was there. And we had to go to a collector of rare Shepard artifacts. Who has stuff that has never been published, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
He also helped us confirm.
Yeah, just as a side note, Jesse told me to get his book, because it's in the Library of Congress, which is very close to where John is, to go get the book and to republish it. We didn't do anything with it, but I tell you what, it's all over the Internet now. It's been republished. You can actually buy that book, Psychophone Messages by Francis Grierson.
Oh, okay. Wow. So it's out there. It's obviously out there.
Yeah,
out there
it's even in Google Books. You can actually get it online.
Oh, so I mean, this information's out there. I mean, along with
yes. It is now, but it wasn't at the time that all this stuff happened. You know, back in 2004. It was under glass. There was only actually the copy that John saw from the collector is the same one that was under glass in the House Museum. The House Museum closed down, and mm-hmm. so it went back to the collector who donated it.
Well, the paper is called Edison Psychophone and ITC Technology, and this is the paper that's by John Strife. I never got to. I should have asked you this before I interviewed John.
Before I tell you, is this Strife? John
Strife. Strife. Okay. Strife. It's not even like Strife. Oh, hey, John Strife. No, John Strife.
So not the last time, sure.
But we got actually. Unfortunately, we're right at the top of. We're at 7 o'clock right now. But this is an ambitious paper, and I think you know. Like we said before, the Edison debate, we've heard, you know, people going back and forth on this, and that's why I wanted to bring you guys on here and at least just talk about the high level of this for a few minutes to get people thinking about this thing.
And it's very interesting to, obviously, to us as well, not only as paranormal...
dorks.
Paranormal geeks, but also being from the Detroit area.
And oh, yeah.
Thomas Edison, you know, spent time here in Macomb County.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so we've heard of Thomas Edison over and over throughout. I went to Thomas A. Edison High School, elementary school.
Ooh.
Thomas A. Edison.
So obviously Doug has a vested interest.
So I am like, you know, from my youngin' years, yeah. Right, I've been, you know, all over the Edison stuff. So I'm thinking this is a really good thing to do. If you go to sdparanormal.com.
Yeah, well, there's actually a direct link on our site. I actually linked up the paper itself, the PDF file for your paper, John, on our website, too.
Great.
You guys can look at the updates here, you know, for tonight's show, and I'll put a link in there also, so this will take you right to the paper also, so you can check it out yourself. Guys, hang on the line for one thing. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Okay.
Hang on the line for one thing. Thank you guys again.
Yeah.
We have to thank you for joining us and talking about this cool stuff.
And again, the website, www.s, as in Sam, D as in David, paranormal.com, as usual.
Yeah, that's Bonnie's site.
That's Bonnie's site. And of course, it'll be linked up at ghostlytalk.com. It always is.
Always is. Yeah, we'll be hearing more from Bonnie later on when we do the news at 7:30.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
Bonnie's a big part of the show tonight.
Coming up next, Mark Kimmel will be talking about...
he's doing his return. Like we
talked
about
the return. We talked to him, and it was
so much fun.
So incredible
that
he's coming back, and we're going to be bringing him back and talk more about the cosmic paradigm.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll be right back after this.